Good morning, everyone. We're going to have a very short lesson this morning. We're actually over time already, and we just started. I don't know how long the other classes are going to go, so we'll just have to kind of keep our ears open for the kids when they're finished, and we'll just have to stop at the same time. They're planning a full rehearsal, as I understand it, next Sunday morning, so I don't think we're going to meet at all. And then probably take a week or two for Christmas break, too. So we really won't be revisiting some of this until January anyway. So we'll see how far we get this morning. I'll start by reading some from Acts 10, maybe just the first 8 verses. We'll deal just a little bit with Cornelius himself and who he is, some of his background before we get to Peter's vision, and then some of the details about the spreading of the church in chapter 11. Acts 10, verse 1. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless our study, the brief study we have this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for it. We pray that you give us further insight as well into your word. May your spirit be present with us in our discussion. We thank you as well that we can gather together in this Bible study to study the book of Acts, and as well now again another section where your people are having things revealed to them through angels and messengers. And the gospel continues to spread because that revelation is very powerful and it brings changes to our thinking and attitudes and the way that we look at things. Certainly it did for Peter, but also it brings on more persecution, which then also spreads the gospel even further. We continue to see these themes throughout the book of Acts, and we praise you for them, for it's all designed by you perfectly and wisely, so that you would build your church as Jesus himself promised. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our study book, there is, in the first question on study 5, basically dealing with those first 8 verses on Cornelius. This is on page 359, by the way, in the back of the book. Number 1, what qualities and practices set Cornelius apart from most Roman soldiers and other Gentiles? Did these things give Cornelius a right to God's favor? Why or why not? So first of all, what kind of qualities and practices set him apart from the other Roman soldiers or other Gentiles? He was a believer. And his house. And that's a very interesting addition that we're given there. It's not just a side note. So there's a covenantal understanding in this. And what do you think his household was made up of? Servants. Yeah, so we're told later that he had 2 of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. So he had attendants, so they were there. We can assume their families too. You know, the servants would have had families in servants' quarters or maybe a separate house, and they would have been included in that as well. So he's not only a leader of, he's a centurion, so he's over thousands, hundreds of thousands, but there's this sense as well that he has been a man of instruction and order in his own house to teach these same things to all the servants and their families too. What other things about Cornelius? Okay, so there's the alms and prayers indicate a serious sense of piety, devotion, but those would have been given, of course, to the Lord, which obviously would separate him from the Gentiles or other Roman citizens or soldiers. Okay, did these things give Cornelius a right to God's favor? It is a bit of a trick question. Okay. If we want to talk about did it give him a right to God's favor, the answer is pretty clear, no, because nothing we do merits God's favor. But is there a connection yet between his piety and faith and such that God did give him favor? Because the Lord did not send angels to many soldiers. So what's the connection? Now you got to think of broader context about the following chapter 11, but also the rest of chapter 10. What's the context? How does that help us answer that question? The connection between God's favor on him and his exercise of Christian piety and faith. Maybe put another way, why would God choose Cornelius? Clearly he did. There's no way that he was a believer in the Lord as a member of the Italian cohort and a Roman soldier apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. So why did God choose Cornelius? Yeah, but why? Why would God choose to give him a longing for the Lord? Church needed to expand to the Gentiles, and particularly the apostles needed to learn about that expansion because they were Jews themselves. Okay, so that's one thing. He's a Gentile, and God is showing the church and going to show Peter very, very vividly in the next verses his desire that nothing that I call clean should be called unclean, and I intend for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. Cornelius is going to be sort of the first direct object of that gospel going to the Gentiles. The Romans are the ones that killed Jesus. So not only is this a Gentile, but he's a Roman citizen, so, and he's a soldier. So he's a very prominent Roman. This isn't just somebody off the street. This is going to make headlines. Okay, people are going to hear about this, which is going to bring all kinds of different implications later, ramifications later. Okay, what other things? Do we know anything about this Italian cohort? I might. The Italian cohort was a very elite band of Roman soldiers. Italy was very, very strong training grounds. Is it Fort Bragg or something like that? One of the big army training places in the United States? I don't remember. Fort Bragg? Okay. This is Fort Bragg, the Italian cohort. I mean, these are the kind of guys like the Marines when they get tattoos because they've been in war together. They've always got each other's back and stuff like that. But they were terribly irreligious. I mean, they rejected even the pagan gods of the Romans. They were debaucherous, humanists. All they cared about was each other. And he's part of this group. So, in a certain sense, it's very similar to that of Paul. Paul's a persecutor of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ takes him out of that to make him an apostle. God comes to Cornelius, who's a member of this Italian cohort, a terribly irreligious group of soldiers, and he's going to take him out and use him as an example. I mean, not only is he a believer, but he's going to be an example now to the Jewish Christians that the gospel needs to go to the Gentiles. And by the way, the first person I picked for you to send it to is Cornelius. So he's well known, he's got a reputation, people understand who he is and such like that. in terms of their culture and the city. Notice this question as well in verse 4. The angel comes to him, he stares at him in terror and said, and the ESV says, "What is it, Lord?" It's actually translated, it should be translated, "Who is it, Lord?" Not what, but who. So, he's a devout man who fears God, but with this angel revelation, this is something that he has not seen yet. His question is more, is this really from the Lord or not? So, who is it, Lord? He's not asking, what are you going to tell me? He's asking, who are you? Or who sent you? Who are you from? So there's a certain sense there as well. So the Spirit is clearly at work in the heart of this man. So we know he didn't earn God's favor by his merits, but the Lord had particular reasons for choosing Cornelius. And we're going to see some of those manifest later, particularly for Peter. Peter obviously grows in this as well, seeing the vision and even having to go to Cornelius' house. That was a big deal for the Jews. We'll see a little bit more of that later. I hear the kids are out, so I think we should probably just close it off at that time. And everyone can collect their children. We'll continue this, Lord willing, in a few weeks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your divine grace and favor, which you choose to place upon us according to your own will. We thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in this. And even as you challenge the church there to grow, given this new revelation, so as we study the Word, we are challenged too, to have our minds and hearts stretched to see your plan of salvation, to see the working of your grace, as mysterious as it is, and yet we also have that which you've revealed to us that tells us about your work and how you went about it. And we thank you for that revelation. May you increase our knowledge about it as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.